I know. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills. Almighty God has made. Each mountain shouts, each valley fills to sing the Savior's praise.
Sing the Savior's praise.
Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, we'll open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Oh Lord, I put my trust in you. Never be ashamed. Your mighty arm has rescued me. I will praise your name.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We have our fellowship luncheon directly following the service, and everybody is invited for good food and good fellowship. Following the luncheon, there will be a service at 2 o'clock at Pacific Hills Manor. Please note in your bulletin that all other activities normally scheduled for Sunday afternoon are canceled since this is the last Sunday of the month. There will be a youth Bible study Friday, August the 31st, at Pastor Tomlinson's house at 7 p.m. Please refer to the insert in your bulletin for any further announcements. Our scripture reading for this month is printed in your bulletin. It's from Psalm 34:3. If you could follow me as we read it. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 55, Come Christians, Join to Sing.
Hallelujah.
Please turn with me to hymn number 258, He Hideth My Soul. Please stand as we turn to hymn number 212 and remain standing afterwards for the reading of His holy word. Nothing but the blood, hymn 212.
Remain standing for prayer this morning, and I enjoy the presence of Ruth Nichols, a missionary to Argentina that we supported for a long time, and now retired from Argentina, but living in the country of Oregon, all right, where I'm going after the luncheon, and so good to see you again, so faithful ministry for years in my country, and we know each other for a long time. Just as we came to America, we get to know Ruth. We didn't know English. She didn't know Spanish, but we get along very well. All right? Because she go to Argentina, remember? Let's pray. Lord, you are a beautiful Savior, and we can be sure that nothing can wash away our sin but your blood that was shed on Calvary. Father, thank you that we can keep on proclaiming the message of the gospel. We keep on proclaiming the scripture that will build up a life as Christians so that we become a living testimony of what you have done within our soul. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the privilege of opening the doors of Bethel here. Thank you for the privilege to own now the new property. And soon, Father, our new building will start, and we pray for all the wisdom and all the things that will take place over there for the building committee and for the people who are in charge in the selling of this property. Thank you, Father, that you put now in our hands a very large and wonderful project who is already in motion. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Our goal is not to be large and big. Our goal is to have the comfort to share with others in all the activities that we can do. And Father, some thoughts came into my office that we should keep the both building, the new one and this one, and make out of these in a Spanish church. Father, you only know that, and people are calling me for that, and Father, you know what is ahead of us. We just follow you. And we want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for your care upon us. And we are missing a man and a wife who has been faithful for a long time with us. And now they are in vacation for Joe and Mildred Plica. And Lord, bless them wherever they are. They have been faithful. They are faithful. And we rejoice with people like these who share their life with us. And we see the life of Christ in their life. Thank you, Lord, for Mildred and for Joe Plica. Some of our members need help. We pray for Ann Peretto, Lord, for Loretta Forrest, the amputee in San Jose for a long time, for Dr. McCormack. We pray for Mary and Jerry West, who are in Costa Rica and listening at this moment over the internet. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of mercy upon the life of those who suffer and need your touch. Lord, we love to have missionaries, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott. And thank you, Father, that Carol is coming. We bring Carol back from Spain to our anniversary meeting. And thank you, Lord, that he has accepted. The tickets are in his hand. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to have this wonderful missionary with us. Eusebio and Marisa Perez and Benal Madena, Spain, David and Denise Rowe. Thank you, Father. They are scheduled to come here on October the 21st. Thank you, Lord, for seeing these great workers in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. Martha Ferretti in Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in the Iquitos in Peru, Father. And Jose and Diane Avila, who are also now in Costa Rica. And locally, Father, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Danny today on the race in Ohio. Put your hand of wisdom in their heart. Let them burn with the word of God so they can share the word with those who are in contact with them. Lord, they may have problems, housing problems, things of all natures as missionaries face. And we pray that your hand of mercy be upon their life and that we be on the alert to help for any thing that they need at any moment. Thank you, Father, that we are together again just to hear your word and to praise your name. Thank you for your people who supply for the ministry. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the giver. Bless us now with your presence. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Would you please take your Bibles, if you use the Bible in the pew, please turn to page 597. We will be reading the third chapter of Esther, and would you please stand for the reading of His Holy Word? After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, King's chamberlain, the keeper of the door, who sought him, lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, What honor and dignity... Oh, I'm sorry, I turned the wrong page. They cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, There is certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedad, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to them. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written, according to all that Haman had commanded, unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went out, and being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Please stand for prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this great book, the Bible, that brings to us the message of salvation. We thank you that you have allowed us the privilege to participate in many ways in the proclamation of the gospel of salvation. We thank you that you have blessed each one of us with peculiar talents, great and small, as members of the body of Christ, so that we can be obedient to the work to which you have called us. We pray now for your servant, Pastor Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to deliver the message from your word, and bless us here on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may consider and put into practice those biblical truths which you would have us learn. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you so much, my brother, and I encourage you to take your Bible to the book of Esther, just in the Old Testament. We have been there for a few Sundays. I preached my first sermon on Esther, a summary, God's invisible providence. That was the sermon for the overall study on the book of Esther. Then on chapter 1, uneventful beginnings, incredible endings on the book of Esther, as everything starts so calm, and then by the end of the chapter, the king executes his command to get rid of his wife. Then in Esther chapter 2, last Sunday, we saw six characteristics of a strength and dignity in the life of a woman. And we're looking at about 10 or 12 women in the Bible as a passing by reference that we have been blessed because of their dignity and their character. And then we took Esther and learned from the life of Esther in a marvelous way. Now we are on chapter 3. And I will entitle chapter 3, An Evil Interlude. You're living a peaceful life. You are living a very calm, calm life, successful in the sense that everything is okay with you. And then suddenly something happened, either within your heart or around you. And this is the best way I can conceive what happened is to entitle these An Evil Interlude. You know, I was following trucks driving on our highway 101. I don't like to follow a truck because a stone, a pebble come back and hit you. But I read the bumper sticker of that truck. Usually they are not too thinkable, but this one was good. The bumper sticker said, pain is inevitable, misery is optional. I think it was good. Maybe a believer. Pain is inevitable. Misery is optional. Since we cannot get free of pain, the secret of successful living is finding ways to live above the level of misery. Even in the lovely story of Esther, evil is at the door. Just when everything about to turn out right, then evil comes. King Ahasuerus have found a wife. So I'm going to give you the picture as we begin chapter 3. King Ahasuerus have found a wife, a young woman who is beautiful inside and out. The orphan young woman who was unknown to everybody have been crowned king of the largest empire on earth, queen of the largest empire on earth. Her daddy, Mordecai, is so pleased. The nation rejoices at peace. Everything is going well for Persia. But then comes an evil interlude that disrupts everything beautiful. Why, I thought as I read the chapter over and over, I thought, why should we be amazed? It happens in life, time after time. Look with me. Now we're going to look at a long list of a scripture to see the chapter. Chapter 2 now, verse 21. That's where the chapter starts in Hebrew. All right? Chapter 2, verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Big Than and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were rough and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Notice in verse 21, the words, in those days. In what days, I ask myself? Well, in the days when the king and the people were banqueting and rejoicing, when everybody seems so satisfied and pleased and at peace with one another. That those words means in those days. When the empire was settled, we got a queen. Which proved that a man cannot live alone, no? He needs a wife. A woman can make it alone. Really. But a man can. Isn't that the way it is? When everything goes well, something happens. That is the way evil is, my friend. That's the way evil is. When an offense isn't checked, it grows into anger. And when anger is allowed to settle in your heart, it leads to murder. So that applies to all of us. To all of us. And I say it again because that it will be part of my conclusion. When an offense isn't checked, it grows into anger. And when anger is allowed to settle in your heart and blossom, it leads to murder. Look at chapter 2 now, verse 22 and 23. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king, or means inform the king, would be a better word, therefore, thereof in Mordecai's name. And when Inquisition, that's in Spanish a bad word, which means something evil, but investigation of the evil thing, that's what the Hebrew word is. When investigation of the evil thing was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Remember that I asked you to check that word. It was written in the book of the Chronicles because that is what God used later on in chapter 4, 5, or 6 to save Mordecai and the Jewish people. Those two bodies impaled on the gallows were a reminder for all the people of Persia. Don't plan evil. This is the result of evil. This is the result of evil. You end up on the gallows. Now, if you think that this is enough, that travel, all right, and a sparkle was taken care, everything is okay. If you think that is enough, please hear me as I read verse 1 in chapter 3. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Do you hear me right? What's going on? Mordecai is the one who saved the king's life, right? That's what we read. Mordecai is the one who told Esther, who then told the king. Mordecai is the one who uncovered the plot and saved the king's life. So why is Haman getting the promotion? Well, I forgot to tell you something at the beginning. It is this. Life is not only painful, it's unfair. You young people don't know what I'm talking about. But we who have white hair can tell you. Life is not only painful, it's unfair. And I want to say this statement strongly. And in spite of all those Christians and directors of mission who are listening, that even in the ministry is unfair. Even in the ministry. Why life is like that? Because of evil, my friend. Because of evil. Not because of God. Because of evil. When righteousness rule in your heart, justice reign. But when evil is in the heart, my friend, injustice follow. So do not allow evil in your heart, because blossom as injustice. All right. And that's exactly what happens when Haman and all the people is advanced, given authority and promoted. Look at verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bow and reverence Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Mordecai did not have a bad attitude. Don't think Mordecai was a bad employee. He did not have a bad attitude. He just followed the commandments of God. Will you turn your Bible to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, in chapter 20 in the book of Exodus. And I want to show you verse 5. This is the commandment of God. In case you forgot the Ten Commandments, here is the commandment of God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Exodus, the second book after, is a book after Genesis, second book of the Bible. Then verse 5 said these words, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Mordecai, I say it again, did not have a bad day and forgot to reverence. Mordecai followed the scripture. Young people, when you follow the scripture with conviction, it's going to cause trouble. Satan lied Christians with a little label here and a cross, and say, I'm a Christian, and do whatever you want to. But when a Christian leads from conviction from within, expect an evil interlude. Now, when he is asked about why he will not obey the king command, Mordecai has his answer ready. Go back to Esther chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. When he was asked why you are not paying reverence to Haman. Look at the answer, verse 3 and 4. Esther 3, 3 and 4. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandments? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand. For he hath told them that he was a Jew. Hey, I'm a Jew. I don't do the things you people do. I live by conviction of the book. People live as Baptists, as Pentecostals and Presbyterians. I refuse to argue any longer with people of denominations. I will sit with you and explain to you how to live the Christian life according to the book. Please forget about those names. A Baptist, Presbyterian, and all of this. It is time for Christianity to stand, read your book, and live by the conviction of the book. I include pastors too. What's happening here? Why Mordecai's refusal to bow to Haman causes Haman to become enraged and then want to kill not only Haman, want to kill all the Jew. Now, when you face something like that in the Bible, Hebrew sometimes helps. You remember, names are in Hebrew. And the Hebrew names have a meaning. And as you trace the names, you find answer. The answer is that all of this goes back to an old grudge from the family of Haman. Back in Samuel, is an interesting story about a king named Saul who was told by the prophet Samuel to kill all the Amalekites, where Haman come from, the long-life enemies of the Jew. Well, we better see it. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, page 347, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I read for you these nine verses, all right? Hear these. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people and over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Verse 2. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came out from Egypt. Amalek do not let them pass. Remember your history in the Bible? Now, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and sucking, ox and sheep, camels and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot men and 10,000 men of Judah. We are complaining because we invade Iraq with 165,000. You know, here's 200,000 men ready to go to Persia. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For he showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Now come this story, verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until the Kamesh of Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroy all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spare Agag and the best of their sheep and the oxen and the fatherling and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroy tenderly. Now, that is how far back is adversary relationship is. Later on, Samuel killed the king Agag by verse 33 on the same chapter. You will find that Samuel killed him. But see, this man Haman is a descendant of the Amalekites. And he knew that God do not tolerate evil. Eradicates evil. And that is the grudge that is in the heart of Haman. Saul spent the life of the king Agag, and the Agagites, descendants of the Amalekites, got their name from the king that Saul didn't kill. That is why the Agagites hate the Jew, because of this incident. Now, his anti-Semitic extermination plan unfolds quickly, and with great imagination full of evil, it is also getting very ugly. Go back to Esther with me to chapter 3 and in verse 7. Look how ugly is the plan of this man. In the first month, that is in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is in the month of Adar. You see it? It is for 12 months, this man is building something. He said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Not just one day, for 12 months. We are witnessing an escalation of evil before our eyes. Hatred has grown into murder in the human's mind. Some people say sometimes, well, I don't say anything. It's okay with me. And it's not okay with you. And you keep it in your heart. It's going to be just like that. Just like that. It is amazing. King Ahasuerus apparently didn't know the background of the Jews, so when Haman came with his plan, he fell for it. Look at it in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Look at how King Ahasuerus, a king who's supposed to be smart, look at what he did. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people is gathered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces and in the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all the people, neither keep them and the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to keep with them. The English here says suffer them, but to tolerate them. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be, what's the word? Destroy. And I will pay, now here's the incentive for evil. Here's the incentive for evil. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it and to the king treasure. 10,000 talents of silver. That's 370 tons of silver. That's a lot of money in those days in Persia. And it is today. You know, the standard of money in Persia was silver. When I came to the country in 65, America still have silver dollar. All right? That means that's the money. Argentina, when I grew up, in the 39, 40s, has silver money. Now, that's real money. What you have now is just nothing. It's comics. But the other was money. All right? Because you have a background. You can melt the silver and sell it. 370 tons of silver. The king is just eating his coffee. He say, I want to give you all this money, but doing nothing. You just have to kill all the people. Now, look. What happened then? After money is brought into the place. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jewish enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it please. Goodbye, friend. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, page 1295. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, page 1295. Look at what Paul, what God said. For the love of money is the root of all evil. How King Ahasuerus yield to this? Well, Satan knows that the love of money is the root of all evils. And so Ahasuerus hear this man talking about money, 370 tons of silver in your hand, fellow, and that brought Ahasuerus to his knees. Amazing, no way? Some people think the Word of God is an old book and it's no good today. Can't believe it. As a result, Haman pressed on without hesitation, without a hint of restraint or a glimmer of guilt. Go back to Esther with me and let me read you verse 12 and verse 13. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13 days of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writings thereof and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews. Both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Talking about Hitler extermination plan. This is 100 times worse. Even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and so to take the spoil of them for a prey. 12 months to plan this, but when come that day, the 13th day, maybe Friday the 13th, then done. We get the Jew out of here. Haman ordered annihilation of all the Jews in one day. He has an extermination plan to put in writing as we hear it, and he sealed it with the king's ring. Though we are far from finishing with the remarkable, relevant story, it is time for me to make a pause and to caught our breath what really happened and apply this story to our life. I think I learned three valuable stories or three valuable lessons from three major characters that we talk today. From Mordecai, a learning story that is very important. Mordecai is the Christian, the Jew. If you look in your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, page 1324, known these verses to all of you, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 is the story they are learned from Mordecai, the lesson they are learned from Mordecai. Never forget there will be someone who always resent your devotions to the Lord. That is why God wrote this counsel in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. I'm going to read it from my Greek writing. Be sober-minded. That means be calm in spirit. Be on the alert. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls. That's the word. Prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He is not a roaring lion. The devil is not a roaring lion. In Revelation 5:5, the Bible said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of Jesse. And so that is Jesus, all right? The lion is Jesus. He has all kinds of power. Unlimited power. But the devil is always an imitator. And he tries to imitate. And he tries to destroy you, the Christian. And me. I have seen it in the military. I have seen it in the neighborhood where I live. I have seen it in the ministry. I have certainly seen it in the business of the world, where pressure intensifies because of a person's conviction and cuts across company policy. You say, the company policy is this, but I will not do it, because this is my conviction. And then you are facing off a lion against you. I have seen that. So the lesson from Mordecai is, the King James say, be watchful, be on the alert will be a good translation. Be on the alert. That's the lesson. We Christian lives loose. Be on the alert, said the scripture. Because the devil, your adversary, is going to use somebody trying to destroy you, or to change your convictions, or to make you ashamed of failing in your convictions. The second I learned from Haman: never underestimate the diabolical nature of revenge. Christians, this is for you. A lack of forgiveness that stay on the back burner has the ability to poison your life if you allow it. Do not hold in your heart anything. Just speak up, even if it causes a revolution. Speak up. Tell the other person. Do not hold anything back. Tell it like it is. Otherwise, it's going to undermine your life and it's going to destroy you. It makes your life miserable. A lot of people said, I'm depressed. No, you're not depressed. You maybe need to forgive somebody. That's what you need. And then finally, I get another lesson from a king, King Ahasuerus. Never estimate the value of your importance. It is easy to be blinded by lack of information. How come a king, when these requests come around, he said, who are you talking about? The Jew. Well, let me go to the library and read about the Jew. Let me open the scripture and read about the Jew. What happened? Never, see, if you do not have the information before your hand, you cannot make a right judgment. Is that right? The young people asked me last Wednesday, what do we need to know in order to get married? That was a great Wednesday. And at Starbucks, we stay until 10, almost. And I share my life. All the things that I told Raquel about me, and Raquel told me about her, and we check each other to see if there is substance in us as Christians first. There is any secret sin in your life that you covering up? See, God has placed you in a great responsibility. You're a father. Your people, your young people, should learn to pray by listening to your prayers in your home. Your wife should respect you because of your prayers in your home. See, don't be blinded. You are responsible. See, King Ahasuerus cannot say, oh, I don't know. He's king. He should know. Somebody should counsel him with wise words about what happened and what took place. So what is the overall picture about us? What's the lesson for all of us? In every life, it is an interlude, an evil interlude. It's never far away. A secret plan to walk away from God's given responsibilities, or a smoldering spirit that, if not dealt with, can lead to violence and even murder. And even murder. I read the story of this lady that killed her husband, the pastor. She's out. 7 months and it's out. And I read, you can go on the internet. Once the judgment is done, you can copy the entire thing. 555 pages the judge wrote about. And the judge said, she had been terribly persecuted by this man, dominated to the point that she cannot walk out without his permission. How this man treated her so awful. But you know, all she was quiet and a great Christian, they thought. But all of this was accumulating into her heart. To a point that she said, such a day and such an hour, I get it. And finished with him. All the bullets on the barrels. That tells you the anger. You let anger go into your heart, you end up in the same way. Some people leave their home after the children become 18. You say, how this happened? Well, their anger has been built. You need to expel it. You need to put it on the table, get the other person in front of you, and say, now this is it. This is my problem with you. That Raquel does with me. Every day. All right? One of the young people said, must be tough to be married to Raquel. It is tough, but we are married 46 years. I'm good looking, and that you take this care. What do you do with sin? What was the last song? What can wash away my sin? Nothing by the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing by the blood of Jesus. You can experience an internal transformation when the blood of Christ washes away your sins. Christians, we need to go. Remember what the scripture says in John 1:29. Clearly the scripture said, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. The psychologist maybe is good for some direction, but he cannot take away your sin. The psychiatrist maybe is good for some medicine of emergency, but he cannot take away your sin. The only person that can clean that sin, the only person that can wash away that heart is Jesus Christ. And we need to go and pray to Him. That's what we pray on Wednesday night. That's what I pray with the young people who pray so good. I listen. When you listen to pray somebody, then you know that person. I listen to him, to them pray, and they pray. And they pray too long because we have to go to the coffee shop. And in the coffee shop, we talk reality. It's so beautiful. Before that reality becomes a garage or something. And we bring it to the scripture, and we put it on. When you have Jesus, you are saved from the judgment to come. But most, you are saved from the misery of our old nature. Maybe you young people have a father that you cannot forgive. Maybe you have a mother. Maybe you have an uncle, a friend. Get it over. Don't let that grudge grow like Haman. Get it over. Let Jesus take care. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the great lesson that you brought to us today. I studied the lesson over and over. And I was looking into my heart very deeply. Because I don't want to preach this without having a heart who has a grudge. I thank you, Lord, that I have no knowledge of a grudge in my heart. I'm clean before you. I pray for those who maybe have a grudge, this sermon, this scripture, will help them not to be like Haman. I pray, Lord, that we who are Christians do not take for granted that we are Christians and be like Ahasuerus, who say yes, 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 without analyzing and seeing that what we are doing is according to our convictions of you. Cause us to read your scripture, Father, that we may be able to know what to do. Father, thank you for Mordecai, who gave us an example that even though he was under the pressure of the world, he acted upon conviction. We need the Christendom just to do that. I will not do this because I'm a Christian. Lord, bless us with that strength. In Jesus I pray, amen.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all, through it all, trust in God through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word.
Thank you. May you stand, please. I am having the privilege of the pastor who trained me in New Jersey. He said, I saw that person being born. I saw that person being born. And if you stay long in a chair, you see that. And I remember when Grandma told me, I'm waiting for the best baby to be born. I said, what's the name of the mother? She said, Darlene. Oh, I'm waiting for the best child, too. And what's Tricia? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Help us, like the song Tricia has put in our hearts, says, that to depend on your word. We depend on our thoughts. We forgot that we are in a hostile world, and sometimes hostile church and Christians. We assume that every Christian is spiritual and fed by the Spirit. But when we are weak, we are ugly. So, Father, build us again. Renew in us the spirit of learning and living for you. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.